Something for ladies of a certain age, Duran Duran and Skin Trade, followed by Spandau Ballet and Only When You Leave. But you were either one or the other, weren't you, Sarah?
Yes, you certainly were. Spandau Ballet.
You were Spandau Ballet.
Never Duran Duran.
Really?
No.
Yeah. With a bit of Wham in the middle.
Oh, Wow, yeah. Well, it had to be Wham. Wham came first.
So many Danes were returning from Sweden and Bornholm on Sunday night. A 6-kilometre-long traffic jam formed on the bridge, or Brun, linking the two countries, forcing police to call in reinforcements to handle border checks. The queue, dubbed the Corona queue in the Danish media, came as a result of the long Ascension Day weekend, when many Danes travelled across the bridge to visit their holiday houses in Sweden or on the Danish island of Bornholm. It's pretty terrible. I've taken this trip many times and have also lived on Bornholm, but I never experienced anything like this before, said one man. And when we arrived, we were told there was a 5-kilometre queue, and it's definitely longer now. I can see lights as far as the eye can see as I look back up the bridge. According to local media, 7,850 cars crossed back over the bridge to Denmark on Sunday, more than double the 3,662 who crossed over the week before. Johan Borglin, head of traffic for the Øresund Bridge, told the newspapers, as far as I know, this is the first time since Denmark closed its borders we've had such a long queue. Always wanted to cross that bridge.
Yes, you've said this in the past.
One day I will. A little road trip to Sweden, maybe? Quite a long way. Time for this morning's comedy. Here is the brilliantly eccentric Ross Noble on finding faces in muffins.
I'll tell you what I've been doing of late, right? This is a good one you can do. This is what I do in the daytime, right? I go into muffin shops, right? And I try and find human faces in the tops of the muffins. Yeah. It's harder than you think, you know? Yeah. I've got a real gift for it, you know? Because the blueberries throw you off, you know? It's kind of like, you know, you kind of look like that and you kind of... There's a face. Next muffin, you know? There's a face, next muffin. That's the speed I go at. I'm quite good, you know. There's a face, next muffin. There's a face, next muffin. There's a face, next muffin. There's a face, you know. I'm a bit slower when I'm doing, like, celebrity faces, you know. That's quite hard to do, you know. There's a face, next muffin, that. There's a face, next muffin. There's a face, next muffin. I did that wrong there, didn't I? I saw the face, and then I lingered, and then I went on. It should be, there's a face, next muffin, like that. There's a face, next muffin. That's the speed, not, there's a face. Next muffin, you know that. You know. Almost like the face reminded you of a loved one in passing. Now there is a face. Next muffin. You know. Possibly someone, you know, a recent bereavement. No, not a recent bereavement, a bereavement from a long time past, you know. He wouldn't just go, oh, yeah, they died. Oh, he's dead as well. Next muffin, like you had some sort of macabre muffin-based illness. Oh, yeah, there's another one dead. Or you start seeing the faces of people that will die fairly soon. Oh, God. John, I've seen your face in the top of a muffin, mate. I know, yeah. I'd stay indoors for a bit. Yeah. Next muffin. Hello, this is British Telecom. We were wondering, would you be interested in your friends who are about to die represented in the tops of muffins? Service. Yes, please. 17 pence a day. Next muffin. The trick to doing celebrity muffins is, like you want to know. Yes, what is that, Ross, exactly? Yeah, we were wondering, you know, if we wanted to get into the whole muffin spotting business, you know, I mean, what would be... No, the trick to celebrities is to do muffin, to do celebrities that already look a bit like muffins before you start. clever, you see. The Elephant Man. Elizabeth Taylor. You know. Steve McFadden from TV's EastEnders. You know. Look at you lot all racking your brains now going... People reaching down for a book of who's who on TV in brackets that look like muffins. Be a very slender volume like that, wouldn't it? Anyone want to offer one up?
Russell
Hang on, what?
Russell
what?
Crowe.
Russell Crowe. He has a certain muffin quality. I wouldn't say that to his face, to be honest.
Ross Noble.
Today's quiz. On this day in 1964, Marianne Faithfull recorded which Mick Jagger and
As
Keith Richards song?
By.
Well done. Accompanied by Future. Who was she accompanied by?
What? On what?
Yeah, accompanied on the song.
She was sung
accompanied. Yes, accompanied by who?
Future.
Future. Well, if I say future Led Zeppelin members.
Oh, Jimmy Page.
Yeah, on guitar and
John Paul Jones.
On bass.
Yeah.
Correct. Question number two, it's his birthday today. This American singer-songwriter was born on this day in 1964, and he had the 1990 UK hit single Let Love Rule.
What's his face? Lenny Kravitz.
Correct. And finally, on this day in 1972, at the point of the band splitting up, David Bowie offered Who two new songs of his, and they chose...
What the Hoople.
Well done. What were the two songs that he was offered?
All the Young Dudes.
Yeah.
And... No, don't know the other one.
Well, it was the one they turned down. It was Suffragette City.
Okay. And that's what you want to hear, is it?
No, it was Mott the Hoople and All the Young Dudes.
Can't we have Suffragette City instead?
Well, that's the one that they chose. So I think out of respect, all due respect, Mr. Harrison.
Well, it'll be coming up after the news, then.
All right.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Have a nice day off yesterday.
It was very pleasant, actually. I was in the garden, had a bit of Riviera Radio on. The sun was out. So I thought what would be a perfect accompaniment to that, but a bit of Riviera Radio during the lunchtime hour. Very nice.
Okay, you didn't go for a test drive just to make sure your eyesight was okay?
I knew you'd try and drag me into that. I'm staying some way away from that story.
Really?
Well, you know.
Well, it does have sort of a political and economic overtones as well, doesn't it, really?
Political overtones, yes. Economic, far more debatable.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Who's pulling the strings? Who's really running the country?
I'll leave you to figure all of that out.
Okay, you won't be drawn into that. All right, there was a lot of action on the markets yesterday. Wall Street closed, the FTSE closed, but elsewhere in Europe, pretty healthy-looking picture, and Asian stocks have risen strongly this morning as well.
Yeah, it has been healthy. Actually, it was a good week for equity markets during the course of last week in Europe and in the United States. Somewhat of a volatile week, it has to be said. Risk sentiment was gyrated by, I think, a range of factors. On the positive side, hopes arising from early results from an experimental vaccine, announcement of a European recovery fund, faith that activity will indeed pick up once economies emerge from lockdown. Speculation more central banks are considering instigating negative interest rates, although, of course, there are some unintended consequences for that. However, signs of a ratcheting up of geopolitical tensions, particularly between the US and China, concerns about the path of the pandemic and the risk of a second wave, along with a lack of earnings visibility, is likely to keep investors nervous. Market performance, well, S&P rose 3.2% last week. European equities were up 3.6%. Oil continues to strengthen. Brent crude was up 9.6% during the course of last week, is up 80% during the course of this month on signs that demand has been picking up, particularly from China. Gold hit a seven-year high last week. The precious metals up 14% year-to-date. Investors have increased their gold ETF holdings for the past 20 consecutive days. Looks like we're going to add to those gains at the open this morning. Chinese Corn in FTSE up 133 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 99 points. CAC Corn in Paris up 37 points.
Got any bluebells in your garden?
Yes, we do. They're sort of going, to be honest. They were there early on in the season, but it's been very hot. It's been very dry. So they were around, but they've sort of disappeared a little bit.
Yes, I hear they've been magnificent, but of course you'd want them in your garden because you wouldn't want to go into public land or anything like that and break the lockdown, would you?
You were fascinated by that interview yesterday, were you? Really?
I don't think I'm the only one, to be quite honest with you. No. But there you go.
You think he'll survive or you don't?
We were talking about this earlier. I find it difficult to know how he will survive in the long run, but I mean, Boris is certainly brazening it out, isn't he? And but the papers can sniff blood, that's for sure. I mean, the Daily Mail coming down against Boris Johnson is unheard of, isn't it?
Do you think the headmaster would fight equally as hard for you, given different circumstances?
I very much doubt it. as you were saying, investors kind of looking past this row between Washington and Beijing, and one sign that things are picking up is that Chinese oil demand has been ramping up.
Yeah, they say it's back to almost back to the levels seen before Beijing imposed a national lockdown. This is according to leaders of the country's energy industry. China's the world's second largest oil consumer, of course, behind the United States. The quick demand return has certainly helped to tighten the oil market much sooner than many had anticipated, leading to a recovery, as we're saying, in terms of oil price, though still down compared to the $60+ a barrel we started the year at. Chinese demand is estimated to have crashed 20% in February, but the reopening of factories, demand for fuel from consumers who are driving rather than using public transport, has also boosted demand. If you look at traffic congestion, it's peaking at 50% above the level of last year. Chinese demand running at 13.4 million barrels per day. It was at 13.7 million barrels per day in December 2019. Of course, demand would be an awful lot higher were it not for jet fuel demand, which, of course, hasn't recovered yet.
Story that broke over the weekend, Hertz US has filed for bankruptcy. It might be worth asking Hertz about their diesel fleet and how far their cars can go on a tank of diesel.
Really? You think that's an important element to this? Car rental firm said that, remember, Kurtz has founded with a dozen Ford Model T motors over a century ago, filing for bankruptcy over the course of the weekend. Well, bankruptcy protection is probably a better way to put it. After sweeping travel restrictions destroyed demand for its vehicles, Chapter 11 filing allows Hertz to keep operating while it devises a plan to pay creditors and try and turn the business around. This after the coronavirus outbreak forced the second largest US car rental company to seek relief from lenders and a bailout from the US Treasury Department. The filing perhaps has ramifications for the broader car industry, according to analysts. Hertz has 400,000 cars in its US fleet. If creditors of the debt that is secured by the vehicles decide to liquidate the fleet, that could put further pressure on used car prices in the United States.
And after a bit of haggling, the German government has agreed a €9 billion rescue package for Lufthansa. It's amazing all this sort of nationalisation taking place, isn't it? Harold Wilson will be actually cheering from the rafters this morning.
Yeah, desperate times call for desperate measures. I'm sure many governments wouldn't like to, certainly in theory, be doing this, but perhaps have no choice, particularly when it's such an important element of the German economy as the national airline. So it looks like the government will take a 20% stake, which could rise to 25% plus one share in the event of a takeover attempt that seeks to protect thousands of jobs. Lufthansa has been locked in talks with Berlin for weeks over the aid it needs to survive and the expected protracted travel slump. The airline wrangling over how much control to yield in return for that financial support. As you say, if governments, particularly in Germany, have been trying to offload stakes in companies for decades, but still remains a significant holder in the likes of Deutsche Post, Deutsche Telekom. Berlin still has a 15% stake in Commerzbank, I think, which it took during the course of the global financial crisis. Lots of airlines around the world, Air France, KLM, US carriers, all have sought aid after the coronavirus hit global travel.
And a similar picture in the UK, and signs that bailouts might be extended to a lot of other major firms, including Tata Steel as well.
Yeah, again, it's as a sign of how desperate things have become, the government forcing to think about how it can provide support to these companies, but also get value for money and gain the control that's required. They won't want to hold on to these stakes for too long. One would suspect, similar to what we saw, of course, as the result of the banking crisis, but it will need to see recovery in these industries before governments are likely to get their money back.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar coming in at 1.22 this morning. Euro dollar 1.09. Going to get just under €1.12 for your British pound this morning.
Do you think Boris Johnson will still be Prime Minister by Christmas?
You love this. I think he will be. Who's helping him? It may be a little bit more debatable.
Okay, thank you. Speak to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Hank Potts and Barclays. It's
on FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyser has the top stories across the Riviera.
A 30-year-old man has been found dead on a beach in Seafort in the Var. The victim, accompanied by a friend, had gone to the beach but after not feeling well decided not to go for a swim. Upon returning from the sea, the friend found the victim had suffered a heart attack. Emergency services were unable to save the man, who was evacuated by sea. An autopsy will be carried out to determine the exact cause of death. In other news, an argument between two neighbours in Cannes has led to police being deployed in the area and the area cordoned off. Police were alerted on Monday shortly after 6 p.m. following an argument between two neighbours on the Avenue de Commandant-Bray. When police arrived at the scene, a 60-year-old man took refuge in his home after having threatened his neighbour with a gun. The individual was finally arrested shortly before 10 p.m, placed in police custody. Police plan to carry out a search of his home this morning. Police in Fayence have appealed following the disappearance of a teenager. 16-year-old Mayenne left her home in the evening of Tuesday, the 12th of May, and has not been seen since. Of slim build with straight dark brown hair, she was at the time dressed in a grey hooded jacket, blue jeans and black trainers. Investigators believe that she may have run away from home for a second time. Anyone likely to have any information to assist the police in their investigation is asked to contact 0494 391640. The National Real Estate Federation in the Var has said that despite fears of a drop in business due to the lockdown and the current health crisis, requests for property in the region have been pouring in along with visits. During the confinement, thanks to the electronic signature, many agencies were able to continue signing contracts already in place. Since the easing of lockdown on May the 11th, there's been an influx of requests in the real estate sector, including long-term rentals. France's Secretary of State for Digital, Cédric Haut, has announced that the application to track the spread of the coronavirus in France, Stop COVID, could be launched this weekend, provided that Parliament approves it. The purpose of the application is to allow each user who is diagnosed as positive to be able to warn those that he or she has encountered in the previous 2 weeks so that they can take precautions. The project has received criticism concerning people's privacy. Meanwhile, the French Prime Minister Edouard Philippe is set to lay out the details of the second stage of the end of lockdown on Thursday. The Prime Minister will speak following the President's meeting with the Defence Council, in which he will receive the latest data available on the coronavirus epidemic in France. New freedoms of movement are expected to be announced for June the 2nd, as well as the future of restaurants, parks and cultural places, which are currently located in red and green zones. To date, the number of patients being treated in intensive care with coronavirus continues to drop in France. According to the latest report published by the Directorate General of Health, 1,609 patients are currently hospitalised in intensive care due to a severe form of the disease, with 16,798 patients with COVID-19 currently being treated in hospital. The General Health Director also announced that 65,199 people have recovered from the coronavirus, and since the start of the epidemic, 145,279 confirmed cases of COVID-19 have been recorded in France. The French Prime Minister has promised that thousands of nurses will see their wages increased under a reform from the health service. Nicknamed Ségur de la Santé, in a reference to the Parisian Avenue where the health ministry is located, the review was launched on Monday by the Prime Minister Edouard Philippe and the health minister Olivier Véran. Philippe, echoing President Emmanuel Macron, Philippe said that the increase will be significant. He later went on to say that it would be inexcusable not to seek out changes after the coronavirus pandemic. Meanwhile, former French President François Hollande has acknowledged his share of the responsibility in the situation in French hospitals, with in particular a lack of the renewal of masks, while criticising the lack of regular stock checks since 2017. Speaking on France Inter, Hollande said, "I too have my responsibility during the coronavirus crisis. For years, hospitals have been under pressure, and I played my part in that." The former socialist president detailed the situation of hospitals by saying, "We put too much administration in place, and with too much time taking up by filling in papers rather than treating patients." Finally, Public Health France has announced that current indicators show a favourable situation of the coronavirus epidemic in France. General Director of Public Health France, Geneviève Chen, said that the virus is still here, but the circulation remains weak. During the easing of lockdown, respecting barrier gestures along with social distancing has no doubt helped. As she concluded, "We remain cautious as there are many aspects of the coronavirus which remain unknown."
Riviera Radio, Sports News.
Football players and managers in the English Premier League will examine rules for a return to contact training today before a crucial vote tomorrow. On Sunday night, government's advice was updated to allow elite sports to move to stage two of a return to competitive action. The Premier League has been closely involved with the drafting of the government's policy and will now present its own protocols to players and managers. The league is hoping that a successful return to contact training will get the ball rolling on a return to playing competitive matches behind closed doors sometime next month. Doesn't look like the June the 12th is going to be the start date, though. Now, there's a big game in the German Bundesliga tonight with Borussia Dortmund second place, taking the leaders Bayern Munich on. Bayern are 4 points clear at the top with 7 games remaining. The Bayern coach Hansi Flick has played down the importance of the match and says it's not a title decider. Kick-off at 6:30 this evening. Rugby Union, a study carried out by World Rugby, suggested that doing away with reset scrums and eliminating face-to-face tackles would significantly reduce the risk of coronavirus transmission. And the study has also advised that changes of jersey and headgear should be made compulsory at halftime, and that on-pitch huddles and spitting should also be banned. Players washing their hands and faces with soap and water and regularly changing balls during a match have also been proposed. The findings of the study will be put to World Rugby's executive committee later this week. And in boxing, former world heavyweights champion Evander Holyfield says that he'd be open to fighting Mike Tyson in a charity match, should he ask. Holyfield is 57, retired in 2014, and won both previous encounters against Tyson, including the infamous bite fight in 1997 when Tyson was disqualified. Both fighters have plans to return to the ring for charity, and Holyfield said that a 3-round match was possible if Tyson wants it. Tyson is 53, last fought competitively in 2005.
The Marine Weather Forecast, brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Be safe on the seas with Oyster Yachts.
The coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Al Maritime in the VAR. The general situation, high pressure, 1,020 to 1,025 millibars over the region. Winds are variable, force 1 to 3. The sea is calm. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,024 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, partially cloudy, force 1 to 3. Variable winds, calm seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are variable, force 1 to 3. The sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,024 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, clear skies, force 3 to 5. Southwesterly winds, slight to moderate seas and good visibility.
The Marine Weather Forecast, brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Crafted by British boat builders since 1973. The best ocean-going sailing yachts in the world. The world is your oyster. Make Oyster your world. OysterYachts.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
Lovely looking morning out there again. Clear skies, light variable winds, temperatures 25 to 27 degrees. Overnight lows 20 degrees on the coast, 17 degrees inland with clear skies. Wednesday and Thursday mainly fine, highs of 23 to 25 degrees. I'll fix the garden hose.
Oh, well done.
Yeah.
Was it a lot of bother or was
it was a lot of bother, yeah. It kept getting absolutely soaking wet because bits of it kept coming apart when I turned the main tap on and it broke apart and splashed me all over the moon. Got there in the end.
Well done.
By sort of improvising.
Well, I don't think you've missed anything in EastEnders. I was laughing because apparently heartbreaking EastEnder fans have broken down in tears after Sharon found Dennis's belongings. So you must remember
Sharon.
Den. Yeah, Sharon. Den and Angie. You must remember them.
Yeah.
Well, there
yeah.
you go. And their daughter was... Wasn't their daughter?
Sharon, yeah.
Sharon, yeah.
But wasn't she adopted?
Wasn't she then with... Yeah, because then she was with Den, wasn't she? Oh, dear, right. Finally... Is it you? A UK lottery player is just days away from losing £1 million. The mystery punter matched five balls on the bonus ball on the December the 4th draw, but they must claim the win within the six-month deadline of June the 1st, or they lose the cash to the Good Causes Fund. So the winning numbers, you're listening carefully, but I know you haven't played in the UK, but those that have, number 9, 13,
number 9,
21. Have you gotten any of the bingo things? You've not got any of the... You know, you can say with the numbers, like
2, 3
ducks or something. Anyway, number 9, number 13, 21, 25, 28 and 31. And the bonus ball was number 1. And the ticket was bought in Canterbury in Kent. Etchells, are you listening? It might be Etchells.
Not me.
Not you. There's a second one as well that apparently didn't claim. They've got until the 10th of September. That was for the draw on March the 14th. But I warn you about that near the time.
If you buy a lottery ticket, surely you check the results.
I know.
No?
No.
You don't check the results.
No.
You just buy the ticket and
I forget about it. I lose it or I... You're now up to date.
The news is on the website, rivieradio.mc.